Thank you for being with us today. Together, we're figuring out whatever is going on with the Sacramento Kings. Thanks to Kyle Draper for joining us. By the way, Sean Cunningham from Fox 40 coming up in about 10 minutes. It's Whitey and Jay today. And this is remarkable, the fact that yesterday the Kings, after getting clobbered by the Pelicans. And by the way, Jay Ross said last night, I agree with this, on the postgame, he said it's 133-100. It didn't even seem like it was that close. But Mike Brown apologizing to fans. I apologize to fans who spent their money. How about that? That's remarkable. Apology accepted? What do you think if you're a Kings fan? And even if you didn't go to the game, I think coach's apology applies to you. Here's Mike Brown after the game.
Not much to say. They flat out kicked our behind. One thing I do say, I feel sorry for the fans that spent their money coming and watch the game today. For us to perform that way and the lack of fight to whether it's get back in the game, stay in the game, however you want to call it, was not non-existent. And it's going to be tough scoring when, you know, you have Keegan Fox and Malik go a combined 5 for 29. It's going to be a tough night. So give New Orleans a lot of credit. They came in here and they just flat out kicked our ass and did it for four quarters. And at the end of the day, like I said, you give them all credit. And I'm sorry, Sacramento fans, for coming and spending your money today.
Wow. Yeah, that was rough. By the way, I wonder if Mike Brown, in a way, is talking not only to fans, but maybe, in a way, he's talking to the front office. Like, you know, we got to do something. This is not acceptable. I mean, talking about a total lack of effort defensively. And that's the disappointing thing, of course. Kyle Draper just joined us. I think everybody, even if you thought, wow, New Orleans just has the Kings number. Jay, I think everybody thought the Kings at least will come out with some kind of effort. They'll be in the game for a while. They're going to show some determination here. And basically, the game started, they fell behind, and it was over like that in a blink of an eye. And that's what's most disappointing.
Absolutely. I mean, after getting dog walked the last few times against the Pelicans, you would have thought the Kings would have came in with something.
That's a team that knocked you something. Out of the tournament.
I know. They came in, controlled the situation, and they've controlled the situation. You know, they controlled just about every fashion of the game yesterday, and they for sure have done it over the last, what, four games now against the Kings?
Four times. I mean, and it seems like it's getting worse.
It is. It's almost one of those things where mentally the Kings look like they just know they can't beat the Pelicans right now, and they're acting like it. And you heard Drapes just talk about, you know, it's almost like a little puppy, like, oh, it got in trouble. And, you know, I put the analogy, when my daughter gets in trouble, one of the first things she asked me, if, you know, and she knows, like, getting in trouble compared to really getting in trouble, you know, when she's really in trouble at school or something, it's the, dad, are you disappointed in me, compared to, like, you know, pop's just mad, I'm in trouble.
Well, that's the worst thing your parent can say, right? I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. And honestly, with the Kings, I think it has reached that point, not for the year for a lot of people, but for against the Pelicans for sure. But I think yesterday, speaking of the roller coaster, and that's what Coach Brown is saying, and you've said, and Drapes, I've said, everyone is like, look, for you to go out there and put that effort, you know, fourth yesterday, y'all deserve to be booed. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I have to come out there and shell out the $200 to pull up, and, you know, like I said, man, it's the G1C is a beautiful situation. Mm-hmm. We're blessed and lucky because we have ins and outs, and, you know, we work in this profession. But I've said this, and this is one of my pet peeves with the Kings, and I don't even want to go down this road, but there are a lot of people in our community who has never even been to a Kings game because they can't afford it or whatever the situation is. There are a lot of people that may be their first. That may be their only time to go this year. And for y'all to go out there and get, you know, like I said, smoke brisket. Mm-hmm. You got smoked like brisket last night. Man, you deserve to be booed.
And for a team that's 21 and, well, they were 21 and 13 before they lost yesterday, to have that happen to them at home, it is a little stunning, right? I mean, teams lose. Teams have bad games. But for a team that's 21 and 13, they were, to go in there and just in a home game, playing a team that's behind him in the standings to have no chance. Here's a tip up, game's over. It's a, right? That's what happened. So it's a little stunning. But to me, it just makes it crystal clear that this team, while they have maybe in some ways overachieved, I know we talked about that. They need to do something if they're going to maintain some level of being competitive in the Western Conference, especially with 12 of the next 14 on the road. Maybe I'm wrong, but to me, it's just you couldn't have a more clear sign when the coach is saying, we didn't compete, and we're sorry about that, and you're non-competitive in a home game. Something needs to be done with this roster.
I think it's a good point in what you're saying, Whitey, in the fact of maybe Coach Brown is talking to a higher level. You know, he's talking to something that's a little bit bigger in the fact of probably talking to, of course, taking it in face value, he's talking to the media, but at the same time, pretty sure he was sending a message to his players. And who knows? I think you're on to something in the fact that he was talking to, you know, the powers that be is like, look, I'm trying. We're trying. And the team is trying. But maybe, and this is the toughest part of it all, sometimes you just have to look yourself in the mirror and understand we don't have it. We don't have the necessary parts for this car to run to the smoothest of the ability. Like, yeah, we're doing okay. But, I want to put the spoiler on the back. I wish I had a moonroof. You know, I want to throw some dubs, some 22s yes. on that. I want a little slap in the trunk. I want some, you know, like, I think.
Or well, I'm not going to be as fast as those other cars.
And there it was.
Yeah.
We're going to take some losses. Uh-huh. You know, and when we pull up to the stoplight, you know, everyone's not going to pay as attention as it. We're driving a Corolla. And that's cool. That's all right. It's dependable. Yeah. We know it's going to get me from A to B. And I don't no disrespect to the folks that's rocking a Corolla. But I'm just saying, compared to pulling up in something a little more, you know, flyer.
Yeah. My wife has it's a Camry hybrid. It's very sweet.
That's nice. But
yeah. Yeah. Toyotas are great cars.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. We own one of the, we have one in the repertoire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I got you.
You got to have a Toyota, man.
I agree with you. You know, we were talking about who Mike Brown was sending the message to. And I agree with what you said earlier, which is, as far as his message to the players, I'm sure he had a totally different message for them before he came out and talked to them.
Different
the
tone, different pitch, different vernacular and diction, I'm pretty sure. Coach Brown had a whole different feel. Mm-hmm. He probably let it all loose then, you know, went to the hallway and woosah. Like, you know, before I step on out here and answer these questions from the Whitey Gleason's of the world, let me go ahead and just act like all is well.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I think he may have been talking to the front office is because of something he said yesterday. I know I mentioned this earlier, and maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, but just look at the evidence here. And I know I mentioned this earlier, like I say, back in December, Sam Amick wrote that the Kings are focused on adding offense. He said, apparently they feel that with the defensive improvements, they're fine defensively. The Kings, when it comes to the roster, they're focused on adding offense. That was Sam Amick in The Athletic, the 18th of December. Yesterday, Mike Brown said, quote, if we think that we should just be an offensive team, and there is some of that thought amongst us, he said, that we should try to outscore people, you're in for a rude awakening. So the key to all that is, well, the thought amongst us, are you talking about the media? Are you talking about some of your players? Or are you talking about whoever told Sam Amick that we're focused on offense now? If we think we should just be an offensive team and there is some of that thought amongst us, you're going to be in for a rude awakening in this league. That's Mike Brown. That's why I wonder if maybe he's talking to the front office yesterday.
Got a little different tone. The tone is a little different compared to just speaking, you know, going out there.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think the Kings are going to play to their strengths at this point.
Which are?
Offense.
I hope.
Kind of.
Sometimes.
Right? Yeah. And
when they're making three, there was a stat today that Stiles and Watkins had. When they make 35% of the threes, the record's great. When they don't, it's not.
Yeah, I think the deficiency of what the Kings are is what everyone is clamoring and calling for, the help, the necessity, the need. Like, oh, we need help on defense. And even Drape said it right there. He was like, look, man, we need someone who's going to come in and set the tone, a tone setter on the defensive side, right?
Yeah.
And so definitely, but I also think part of their problem, and this is just me speaking on it, I think part of their problem is they're trying to be something that they're not or don't have the proper pieces. Or as Drake just said, like sooner or later, we have to admit it that they don't have the proper pieces to be the team that they may want to be down the road. And that's okay, but stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to me. Stop lying to the Kings fans and say, look, we want to be a great defensive team. Yeah, we do. That's our goals and aspirations. It's okay to lay your head down at night on a pillow and have some goals and dreams, but we also got to come into reality. Like, yeah, I want to be a millionaire. I'm not there. I got to build myself. Mm-hmm. So that's my issue, Whitey. Like, personally, like, listen, let's just go for what we got right now. And as these pieces hopefully come in through trade or draft or Keegan taking the next step or Davion taking the next step, whatever you believe in, let's do what we do well right now, though. And I think that's part of the roller coaster ride with the Kings is they're trying to be something that they're not.
Yes.
They really are.
Yeah. Kings fans have questions. We have more answers from Fox 40's Sean Cunningham when we come right back. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Jay Johnson over there in for Drapes today. Drapes and I do the show tomorrow, a quick show tomorrow before the Kings take on Detroit. But Jay's a big college football guy, and even though this is the last game ever for a team from the Pac-12, Jay's not rooting for him. But I'll bet you our next guest is. I'll bet you he is. Nice enough to join us here.
Huh? What you wagering? Before he comes on, Big Sean comes on, we'll wager in here.
Want to bet $10?
That'll work.
All right.
Apples.
Yeah. Fox 40 sports host, Kings insider, one of the great producers in the history of this station, Sean Cunningham with us. How are you today, Sean?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. It's great to be with you guys, but all of a sudden, I'm suddenly torn between how to answer this next question.
Just be real. Speak from your heart, Sean.
I just thought that maybe you heard. I thought, you know a lot of local guys that go to Washington, West Coast. You're a West Coast guy. You're pulling for the Huskies tonight. The final game by a Pac-12 team.
Yeah, I'm going to say if I had to pick a winner, it would definitely be the Huskies for that reason. But to be completely fair and honest, I'm not a college football fan like at all.
Okay.
And to your point, Whitey, you know me because I've covered so many of these guys who go to all the schools, and there are a lot. That's what I pull for. I pull for those guys to do well. But if I'm being completely honest, I don't even have it on in the room.
Oh,
Sean,
what?
So technically,
I was watching the Tyrese Halliburton injury just a few minutes ago, and that was a little heartbreaking. Yeah,
what happened?
It was pretty tough. He went down, he got into the lane, hit a wet spot, legs kind of separated. It looked like he grabbed his hamstring. I mean, I don't want to play a doctor here, but he had to be carried off. He got up kind of under his own power, took a step, said nope, and his teammates carried him off the floor, has a towel over his head. And it looks horrible, but fortunately, hopefully it's not that bad, but
yeah,
I was locked on that, unfortunately.
Speaking of looking horrible, what surprised you the most about yesterday, whatever that was, between the Kings and the Pelicans?
The surprise, I think, was I think there's a couple. I mean, I'd put Mike Brown's apology. It was very, like, Alvin Gentry-esque. I remember when Alvin Gentry took over for Luke Walton and he had been hoping for better efforts and to really have those moments where they protect home court or at least give a better effort on their home court. And so he would frequently apologize to the fans. So I thought that one was a little bit surprising. I think the surprise to me, I mean, I'd love to say it was surprising to see Keon Ellis up there at the podium. It wasn't. I'd like to say that it was surprising that the New Orleans Pelicans beat them by 33. It wasn't, because they beat them by 36 earlier in the season. I was expecting a better effort. I mean, I was talking to Domantas Sabonis 2 days ago after the win over the Raptors, where they held off that kind of closing run that Toronto had. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, like, this moment about, you know, hey, some of these games go a little bit the other way. You're looking at a skid here that's a little alarming. And he said, well, we got the Pelicans coming in, and you know, we're already down 0-3 to them, and even though the series season is lost and this team knows it, he was expecting a much, much, much better effort. And I know they'll say, Domantas even said so, was, you know, you can't get rebounds when they're going through the hoop.
Right.
But sure you can. Like, they didn't hit 100%.
It was 23-6 at one point, as you know, on the rebound. 23-6 at one point.
Yeah, and at halftime, they had 9. And that was one shy of matching the franchise low. I mean, look, I get what he's saying, and certainly that they were clicking on all cylinders, and, you know, they, you know, I had some people tell me Willie Green, the head coach, who, you know, he's still brand new at this as being a head coach, and he's saying, I wish I could play the Kings every game. Whoa, just because they know they have their number, you know? Yeah, I mean, ouch. Just because they know that they have their number. So it's tough, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a weird thing because, like, this team is still a really good record. It's actually on track to be better than last year. But what I've been saying over the past couple weeks here is, yeah, you can get your head kicked in some of these games, and it's documented. I mean, you got 14 losses, 10 of them by double digits, 7 of them by 17 points or more, 2 of them to the Pelicans, 4 of them to the Pelicans, but 2 of them by plus 30 points. And you're looking at the way this plays out, and it's like, well, you're 21-14. The problem is, your problems that you experienced last year are your problems this year. And what you're good at last year, you're still good at, but you're not
right
exceeding in the way that you did last year, which is hard because as an offensive team, you were the best in NBA history.
Hmm. Joined by Sean Cunningham, fabulous Fox 40 do it all reporter. Sean, one of the words that we've used on this show over the last few weeks is expectations. Like, expectations for this team and organization has changed. Have you seen, is that fair to say from last year, which I believe, you know, personally they overachieved, but the expectations of this year has definitely changed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on who you ask. I mean, certainly Mike Brown and company, the whole team, they've got championship expectations after not even winning a first round matchup last year. So, look, every team is going to put really high expectations upon themselves. I think fans are hoping that, you know, the Kings can take a giant step forward and sustain a playoff run. I mean, I don't know that fans are expecting a championship realistically, or even the media, but you look at what they were able to accomplish and say, okay, I said it kind of before the season, I think you could finish a worse record in the standings than you did last year, maybe a fourth, fifth seed in the West. It's kind of where they're hovering around now. As long as you're avoiding that play-in tournament, you could still position yourself to have a very good playoff run. And I think that's what the ultimate goal is if you're trying to build this team, is to sustain, you know, postseason appearances and put yourself in position to be able to contend for a title. But make no mistake, like, I don't think anyone realistically is looking at this team and saying that they're a championship caliber team. I think that's still the goal to get to. So to your point, yeah, I mean, are the expectations inflated? Sure, but I think it's good to have inflated expectations of the team. I mean, realize that last year you get your first taste of success in more than a decade, almost two decades, and now all of a sudden people expect the world from them. So, you know, it is a process, and it is an evolution. And, you know, this team, I think, wanted to address a lot of the needs that they had, but I think the minute they signed Domantas Sabonis to this early contract extension, it kind of limited what they were able to do. And if you look at some of the pieces that flew off the shelf, as I like to say, in the free agent market, they cost a lot of money for a lot of teams who overpaid. So I think they're happy with the, don't get me wrong, I think they're happy with what they have. I think they made a point of saying what they showed in the playoffs, especially on the defensive end, shown that this team is capable of being even an average defensive team when they want to be, but it's still, to sustain it over an 82 game season is tough. So, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to be aggressive. They're going to go out and they know what they need, and they have to go find it.
Sean Cunningham with us. And by the way, all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Tell us about the Siakam trade as far as you know and what you can share. How close did it come to happening? Is it an absolutely dead deal, or could it perhaps be revisited by the two clubs?
Yeah, I don't know that it was necessarily close. I mean, I think it's good that they've been talking. I think it's something that's been, you know, they at least know what Sacramento is willing to offer. And certainly you have Toronto knows what they're looking for. And then, of course, you've got the Siakam factor, which is whether or not he would give a team like Sacramento any kind of, you know, kind of tip of the cap to say, hey, I'd like to remain in Sacramento long term. So there's a few factors that are at play. I think, you know, nothing is over. I mean, you're still over a month away. What are we? Well, about a month away. Yeah, January 8th right now. So from the trade deadline. And I love the movie. Well, I don't love the movie, but I love the moment in the movie Draft Day when they're saying like, hey, we live in a different world than we did yesterday. You know, the world has changed. It's true. The landscape changes all the time. So is Sacramento the best deal that Toronto can get? I truly don't believe that it is and for what they're willing to give up. But I also feel that, you know, certainly nothing is over. I mean, you've got a trade deadline. I think from a Sacramento standpoint, if you were adding somebody like Pascal Siakam, you'd want to do it as quickly as possible, try to maximize his time in Sacramento. If it is truly just a rental and maybe give him that first look of what could be as he heads into free agency. But yeah, I certainly don't think anything is over, but the likelihood of him becoming a Sacramento King, I don't think is very high.
Sean, where do you lean on the side of the fence of Malik Monk should be starting compared to some people still believe he should be the sixth man, like Whitey?
I think it's absolute garbage. Okay, like if there's three players on this team that absolutely know, embrace, and love their role, it's Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, and Malik Monk. Malik Monk does not need to start. He's not going to Mike Brown every day saying, I need to start. He knows where his bread is buttered. He knows the role he plays for this team. And frankly, if you put him in the starting lineup, that doesn't mean he's better. That doesn't mean he's going to be better suited to have the type of impact that he does for the Sacramento Kings team. And I've said for over a year, in my opinion, he's the most important player on this Kings team. We know the role Domantas Sabonis plays. We know the role De'Aaron Fox plays. You can chalk them in for what they average every single night, and you know that going forward. But to me, when Malik Monk doesn't have a positive impact on his team, they kind of struggle to win the game. He's kind of their identity. He's a swagger. He's probably the most confident. What he means to this team is so important. He embraces the fact that he comes off the bench. He embraces the people that he plays with. He knows the role he plays as a playmaker. I mean, let's face it, outside, they don't really have this playmaking point guard. And if you're putting all your playmakers, Monk, Sabonis, and Fox, all in the same rotation, which they actually play quite a bit to close games, it makes it a little janky with your rotation. So, people get so tight so much in the starting rotation. The guy played 44 minutes off the bench the other night.
Yeah.
Had, you know, damn near 40 points. I think it's just kind of, you know, beetle-headed when people think that it's, you know, you have to start your best players. It's like, no, you need a player like that off the bench. And as long as he's not making an issue of it, it's a non-issue.
Oh, we'll let you go with two things, Sean. One, great save on draft day where you said, I love the movie. They said, no, I don't love the movie, but I like the moment in the movie. Terrible. That was very, very well done. And then secondly, so you said a few moments ago, I believe you said the Kings know what they need. Talked about the deadline. What do they need? What is it that the Kings know that they need? Whether they can get it or not is a different question. What do they need?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, they know where they're bad at, and I think what they need doesn't trickle down to just one player, per se. Certainly defensive help is there, but, you know, length, athleticism, those are the types of things that are just absolutely killing this team from the past season and a half, and certainly this season. I mean, I think it's even amplified this season. So, from what I've talked to people all the time, you know, they may push back a little bit, but I think there's a, you look at even the Pascal Siakam situation, it's like you want a bona fide wing, a 3-and-D, somebody who's capable of getting you a bucket, but also not a slouch defensively. So, you know, you've seen Zach LaVine rumors out there, and I'm going to be honest, there's interest in places in that organization with Zach LaVine. I mean, you can kind of know your history a little bit. This is a guy who not only had a pre-draft workout in Sacramento, but signed an offer sheet under Vlade Divac, who was a general manager. And we see Vlade Divac a lot sitting courtside at Golden 1 Center. So there is a interest with Zach LaVine, but at the same time, it's like, is it the right move to make? Is it an upgrade in any other position? Certainly Kevin Huerter has really been through his struggles. That's been pretty well documented. So I think it's a lot, but I don't think they're willing to throw away offense to capture some defense and capture some of those things. So I think it's in my opinion, I think their biggest need is right there at that starting wing position. You figure out that, you know, Kevin Huerter Keegan Murray is likely more of a stretch four than a true three.
I know we're a little late here, Jay. Can I ask Sean one more question? I'm wondering what you think of this, Sean, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. I think this is interesting. I tweeted about this. Long story short, in The Athletic, on the 18th of December, Sam Amick said, you know, he had talked to somebody with the Kings, and they're focused on offense, he said. They're focused on adding offense, adding shooting. And then last night, Coach Brown said, if we think that we should just be an offensive team and there is some of that thought amongst us that we should just try to outscore people, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. Do you think there might be a little bit of a disagreement between the coach and the front office about how exactly to approach this deadline?
Yeah, disagreement. I mean, philosophical, maybe. I don't think it's reaching like a head or anything, but you're right. Like when he said that, it perked my ears up because, you know, that shows that there are differing beliefs. I mean, yeah. I think there's differing beliefs within the roster itself. I mean, you saw that when the team started out, De'Aaron Fox goes down, Domantas Sabonis, they have like a team meeting. They lose those two games in Houston, and it's like, no, we need to get back to the way we were playing last year, where the ball's moving and the pace is up. And they tried. They, you know, there are still times where they look like sometimes they're running in mud or they're dribbling the hell out of the basketball. But when they're at their best is when they're a free-flowing offense, equal opportunity, and they're just running. And you've got a Ferrari and Fox, and you're trying to utilize that. And so certainly I think because there is proof in the pudding, there's people that believe that this is the way they're built, that this is the best way to do it. I can't blame Mike Brown, though, for thinking that recipe doesn't lead to success in the postseason and building for the postseason and thinking that they can get better. And his whole mindset, too, is you're going from – essentially a dead last off defensive team. If you could just crack the top 20, that could make a world of difference. So yeah, philosophically, I think there is some back and forth there, but I don't think it's anything to where, you know, they're tipping over tables or anything like that.
Not yet. Anyway.
Not yet. Anyway.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime.
Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. When we come right back, what do the Kings need? Who do the Kings need? Bring them all in. Why not? Next with the Drive Guys. Looking at the NBA standings. Isn't it interesting to think how much differently this whole thing could look when April rolls around, when we finally get to the playoffs? Take, for example, the Warriors. They're 11th right now, 7-19, struggling, but they're getting Draymond Green back. Jay, I wish Draymond the best. We've talked about Draymond. I hope that he's able to figure out whatever he's dealing with, but it just makes me sick to my stomach. I'm tired of him already, and he isn't even back yet because
you're tired?
Yeah. He observes his return with a new episode of his podcast. That's fine. Mm. That's smart marketing. But now he's got this story about how the commissioner of the NBA talked him out of retiring. And I'm just like, I'm just so sick. I told him, Adam, this is too much for me. This is too much. It's all becoming too much for me. I'm going to retire. And Adam said, you're making a very rash decision. I won't let you do that. And I'm mad at Shut up!
You're over it. You're already over it.
I'm really sick of that. I think what it is, it's Draymond in a way. You know, you look at the things he did, and I hope he gets help. But it's like, poor me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I did these, but look at poor.
Absolutely poor him.
I almost retired, and the commissioner talked. Thank you, commissioner.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it? Is it the thought of Draymond and the storybook to Draymond that you're over, or are you just seeing Draymond in a hole, like as far as the basketball player?
I just think he's overexposed, and he's a smart marketer. But I remember when he came back from after he punched Jordan Poole, do you remember there was like TNT did almost like a documentary on it, and it was weird, and they aired it, and people said, that's wrong. And this thing now, again, I think he used the occasion of his return to announce he had a new season of his podcast, and it's like, just maybe be a little more self-aware, take the whole thing a little more seriously, and try to do something other than paint yourself as some kind of victim. But you know what? When he returns, assuming it's going to be his first game at the Chase Center, I mean, standing ovation. I guarantee you he'll get a standing ovation.
He's going to get a standing O?
Yeah, don't you think? For what? I don't know exactly, but he'll get a standing
ovation. I'm not sure he gets a stand. Yeah, well.
He will.
He's going to get something. You're right.
And again, wish him the best. That's fine. But, oh, my goodness. I'm just tired of all the drama of Draymond. I can't remember if it was you or Draymond.
Yeah.
Would you take him here if you could?
I would. Yeah, I would take him. I would definitely take Draymond.
Well,
I would take
after
Draymond.
Yesterday, how could anyone say no?
Yeah, very true. I think he brings exactly what the Kings need. And I think, you know, Mike Brown, having been around him, would know how to handle him as well. Yeah. You know, and I think the other part of it too is whenever Draymond, if he does, moves to a different team, there's going to be a precedent that's a different set of rules that Draymond is going to have to understand and work around, you know, work around, because Golden State, he's just comfortable. He's doing him. He's doing what he needs to do, and no one's, you know, reprimanding him. I think when he goes somewhere else, and depending on where he goes, you know, someone's going to say, look, we don't operate that way.
Right.
You know, so you're going to have to get it together there, Draymond. So right. I think that's – it might be a great look for him to go somewhere else, to be completely honest. I would accept Draymond as a player. I understand when you're talking about, like, over the soap opera, the storybook, the situation.
Oh,
he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's doing it. As you said, he's already got the TNT deal. He's already got the podcast situation. So,
and good for him.
They're making money on it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're making money. But I get what you're saying. Look, I mean, you know, he is being force-fed in many ways.
Mm-hmm. He's being crammed down our throats.
Yes. And yeah. For him to say, you know, and I don't know, maybe that, look. Let me start.
Have
let
you
me
heard
say
the conspiracy
this.
Theory?
Do I think he had? No.
Here's a theory, and it doesn't quite hold up, but okay. Because we don't necessarily care for the Warriors, I'll give it to you anyway. The theory is, Chris Paul breaks his hand. Next thing you know, Draymond's back. Why? Because the NBA wants the Warriors in the playoffs. Now, in fact, Draymond was tracking towards coming back about this time anyway, but some have pointed out that, isn't that interesting timing? Chris Paul's out, Draymond's back. Just telling
probably
you.
Probably goes hand in hand. You're probably right with the situation.
That's what Summers, I'm not buying it, but it's an interesting theory.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I like where you're going
the
with that.
The league does want the Warriors in the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Why? I mean, come on now. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You know, Steph Curry. Just Steph Curry alone is going to be a payoff for them in the playoffs.
He had another game in which he didn't make a three.
I know.
He didn't have any for 200 whatever games, now two in the last month.
What's going on? Uh-oh, the house is falling down.
Yeah.
It may be over, Hova. I can understand where a lot of people are over the Draymond Green situation. He hasn't made no friends with the way he's handled it. The way the NBA has handled it hasn't probably been the best. I'm with you, man. Look, if it don't work, it don't work. And I guess at this point, they still consider it to be it does. Mm-hmm. It's still working.
Yep.
So they're going to continue to let it roll, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, now in the Kings, the trade deadline. At this point, after yesterday, I'm okay with anybody. Jeremy Grant, okay, fine. Zach LaVine, fine. What about Siakam? Yeah, bring in Siakam. What about DeJounte Murray? I've lost my, you know, before it's like, well, I was much more discerning, and now I just feel like, we need somebody, something.
You're looking for anybody at this point.
Going, shake things up. Let's do it.
Yeah, you're just looking for anybody at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Maybe I got
tomorrow
I'll
feel differently, but right now, fine. Who do you got? Kuzma? Let's go. Bring him on. Yes. I want to see
you're ready
it.
To try anything.
Yes.
I get it. No
yeah.
problem.
When we
Draymond?
Come back. Yes.
Okay. All right. As long as you're with that, too.
Yeah, I could wear, you know, earmuffs or whatever so I don't have to listen to poor Draymond.
Well,
I almost
you're
retired.
Ready to.
The commissioner talked me out.
Man, leave that money. He wasn't leaving $100 million on the table.
Oh,
Draymond just talking.
That was like LeBron last year. Remember, well, I don't know. He could retire. Oh, we lost.
Yeah, you ain't leaving that. You ain't leaving that $50 million on the table, LeBron. Stop lying.
When we come back, get ready for the best two football weekends of the whole year. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Hope you're ready for the best football weekend of the year, of the whole year. Super Bowl, Schmooper Bowl. It's all about this weekend. Before we get to that, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mitch has been hanging on. Hey, Mitch, you're on with the Drive Guys. Thanks for hanging. What's on your mind today?
How's it going, Jerry? Thanks to my cool, happy and healthy new year to you guys and families.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm one of the Kings, read the same manuscript, if you want to say like that, the 49ers, you know, nothing to play for, rest your stars, or just take it easy.
Yeah.
That's how it seems.
Yeah.
You know, I think they got to make a trade. They got to get something on a score. You got to take a place from the 49ers. They need Chris McCaffrey. They need a draft. Go off the Trey Lance when they had Jimmy, mm-hmm. and then take also Purdy.
Yeah,
they gotta get themselves another scorer, and you would try some of the big men that sit on the bench too much. I think I think you, like you said, athletic, but like the New Orleans has a big team, and Zion wasn't even playing.
Right. Yeah.
So thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Mitch. Yeah. At this point, last week I would have said no. I need defense right now. I'm like, Jay. I'm like, that's okay. Anybody? Yeah. If he makes me better in any which way, I'm fine. Bring him in. Yeah. Levine. It costs a lot of money. I don't care. It's not my money. Let's go.
You ready to go? Step on the gas.
Let's go. Now, I don't know about you, but I always enjoy this weekend and the next weekend of the NFL playoffs more than any other weekend of the whole year.
Yes.
Okay. It's almost like the football version of March Madness, right? Because you got, you know, you win, you advance, lose, you're out. Saturday, we've got Cleveland at Houston. And then that's 1:30 our time. And then at 5 our time, we got Miami at Kansas City. Although that's going to be streamed exclusively on Peacock.
Peacock.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah. And then Sunday.
To the wife.
Yeah, I got, yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday, we got Steelers-Bills. We got Packers-Cowboys. We got Rams and Lions. You know, there's every reason to think some of those might be pretty decent games. Sometimes you get blowouts first weekend of the postseason. And then Monday, the Eagles in Tampa Bay. This is great, right?
Right. I love it. I mean, anytime you can get all these games every single day where it feels like it, well, let me say this, Whitey. This is the great part of being on the West Coast is by time you pretty much wake up, football's on. And by time, you know, evening's over, football's still on. Mm-hmm. And so I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and when you now Saturday, there's games, Sunday, there's games, and you get the Monday night game.
Right.
I'm all
right.
For it. Plus, you have a little basketball mixed in between. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you can't go wrong with that.
Next weekend has always been my all time favorite because I think you get a lot of games and they should be better teams playing. So these next 2 weekends, I love next weekend especially. But, you know, the Super Bowl is great, but you know how it is if you're a real fan. And you got your watch, and there's people that watch that don't know anything about it and don't care, and they're talking when you're trying to watch a game. And, you know, it's just different.
It's a party.
Yeah, and that's fine, but some of us just like football. Jay, if you could pick who's going to be in the Super Bowl, if Goodell called you up and says, you know, we can arrange it. I can't tell you how we do it, Jay, but – who do you think would be the best matchup for us? What's the best? Who would you want to see in the Super Bowl? What two teams?
Oh, well, as a 49er fan, I'd take the Niners, and then I'd probably say like...
And not necessarily because you want to make it easy for the Niners.
Yes,
but
that's where I'm going.
I know. That's okay. Whoa.
You might want to ask that question again then.
The best game. What do you think would be the best game?
I was going to say Niners-Steelers?
Yeah, I know.
Niners-Bills.
Yeah.
Niners-Bills. I mean, we're talking about best game. As much as I'd like to see Baltimore, I'd probably say Niners-Bills because the Bills Mafia, they're crazy, man.
Don't you want to beat the Chiefs, though, too? Like, you know, it's kind of 2019 making good.
No, I don't care about them. I don't even want them to ever get to the playoffs again. Forget them.
Well, too late for that.
Yeah,
this year.
I know. I hope they get ran out the park by Miami.
I have this weird feeling that the surprise team of the postseason is going to be the AFC 5 seed, the Cleveland Browns.
You really liking the Browns? Huh?
I love their defense, and I mean, I could just see the 49ers, and here they are in the Super Bowl facing Joe Flacco.
Man, that'd be sweet revenge twice.
Yeah.
Beat him for the Baltimore win and against the Browns this year, which they shouldn't have got.
Yeah. And for Joe Flacco, it's like, I'm not even supposed to be here.
Yeah, he just
ride. Can't lose.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just go fling it. Yeah.
Yeah. The point is one side being the Niners.
Yeah.
How about that?
I got you.
Okay.
I understand that.
We can agree on that. I'm good.
Yeah. And you think the best game would be the Bills and the Niners?
Yeah, I think the best game would be. Yeah. Give me the Bills Niners. You know, Josh is.
I think you're. Yeah.
Josh is exciting, and again, the Bills Mafia. They love their Bills. The Niner fans are crazy.
But what happens to the Bills if they lose the Super Bowl again?
I don't know, because I would at that point I would be celebrating.
Have you ever heard the story of the fourth time they played the Cowboys? Well, they didn't play the Cowboys all four times in the Super Bowl, but they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the fourth time.
Yeah, and they're winning at halftime, and I think Troy Aikman said, we go in there in the locker room, and you could see we were losing, but you look at them. They already knew they were going to lose.
Lose?
Yeah.
I have not heard that before.
Yeah. All right, Jay. You and I are back together on Thursday, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for listening. We are back tomorrow. Kyle Draper and our Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Have a pleasant evening.